Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I've got kind of a bone to pick with you guys, Peter, Adriana, but I don't have time to deal with it right now. Kind of a bone to pick, you know, just talk about it a little later in the show. Talk about it later.
What did I do?
We'll just talk about it later.
All right, we'll talk about it later.
It's not important. I got John Wilner of the Mercury News here. But also, by the way, later in the show, Kelly Graves will be with us. The Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, had a piece this morning in which he projected the revenue for the conference. The Southeastern Conference and Big Ten released their figures, and it blew everybody away how much money they're distributing to each member. The Pac-12 will not release those figures until May. They're on a little bit different schedule. But Wilner, as he always does, is digging and probing. And got to the bottom of this matter, and he's joining us now. What did you learn, John Wilner?
Well, it certainly seems like the Pac-12's revenue deficit is going to expand before it contracts, which is a bad sign for the schools, you know, in terms of being able to compete over the next 4 or 5 years with the SEC and Big Ten.
The disparity there, how much of that is created by the media rights deal? How much of that is other things in as you look at the bottom line?
You know, the media rights deals are the vast majority of the disparity, right? The contracts, regular season contracts with Fox and ESPN, for example. Media rights also includes, you know, the NCAA tournament money you get, the college football postseason money you get. But the tier one contracts with Fox and ESPN are the vast majority of it. And then you have the Pac-12 networks and the SEC network and the Big Ten network, and that's certainly an area where the Pac-12 is lagging, as we all know. And the problem the Pac-12 faces, well, one of the problems is that the SEC and Big Ten are both going to renegotiate their deals before the Pac-12 has a chance to do it. So they're going to get more money before the Pac-12 cashes in.
Pac-12's position to this point has been, look, we're going to wait till 2024. We are going to take advantage of a shifting landscape, and then we're going to cash in and presumably or hopefully catch up to the SEC and the Big Ten. The SEC, correct me if I'm wrong, renegotiated their deal for the game of the week, you know, jumped right over the current contract, and there's 4 years left on it. What's stopping the Pac-12 from going, we gotta cash in now?
Yeah, the SEC deal with ESPN is interesting, right? I mean, they've been underpaid by CBS for many years, $55 million a year for the most watched game of the regular season every week. And they finally basically got tired of it and decided they're going to go take the game of the week to ESPN, where they've got all their other games, and just basically create a mini. I mean, it's going to be like Mickey Mouse, Disneyland, SEC. They're going to all be partners. It's going to be all of the Disney might, not just the ESPN might, but the Disney might is going to be behind the SEC, which is a daunting proposition for everyone else. So the Pac-12 could try to get out of their current deals, but they have to want to. So far, they haven't wanted to. They seem convinced that waiting until 2024 is their best option. They also need to have a willing partner. The SEC did. They had ESPN, which was willing to take the game of the week. Pac-12, you know, they gotta have a partner who's willing to pay them what it's worth. And to this point, it doesn't seem like they've found that.
John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, is with us. If you don't read him on the Pac-12, you're not. You don't know what's going on with the Pac-12. I guess the concern is that you fall behind. When we talk about a disparity in revenue, what did you see? What do you expect in May when the Pac-12 releases their figures? What's that distribution going to look like per university?
Yeah, probably about $33 million last year. And again, for your listeners, we're on a delayed basis. This May, the Pac-12 will release its figures for fiscal year 19. So it's basically a 10-month delay. Last May, they announced $31.3 million on average for the 2018 fiscal year. I think they're going to announce about 33, which is like a 5% bump. But they're 33, the SEC is 44, the Big Ten is 55. You know, even the Big 12 is going to take more from the conference, from its conference, and the ACC is going to catch up quickly because of their new network. So I would expect about $33 million per school in payouts to be announced in May, but, you know, that's behind. It's not growing at a rate that's going to allow them to catch up.
You're talking about $11 million per year, per university, disadvantage to the SEC, and a $22 million disadvantage per year, per university to the Big Ten. Let's debate what that will cause. Are we talking about coaches, losing head coaches that are any good to those conferences, facilities? What else?
Well, it's head coaches. It's assistant coaches. I mean, Arizona State just lost a good young defensive coach to Oklahoma, right? I mean, Mike Leach is getting paid basically $1 million more per year by Mississippi State than he was getting paid by Washington State. But it's facilities. It's also support staff like nutritionists and strength coaches and dietitians. It's academic support services. I mean, it's analysts. You know, Alabama's got 15 analysts that aren't technically head coaches, but they're breaking down film. It's recruiting resources. It's, you know, being able to pay for charter flights so your coaches can recruit more efficiently and go farther. You know, it's that money's helping Alabama and others recruit the West Coast more thoroughly because they've got all these charter flights. So it's resources left and right. And it's hard to imagine the Pac-12 year after year being behind in resources and being able to keep up competitively on the field.
That disadvantage is staggering. What do you think happens if that, you talk about 4 or 5 years being at a $22 million a year deficit to the Big Ten. How do you compete? How do you stay in the same stadium?
It's hard. Part of it is the players, too, right? You got to be able to have the players in the Pac-12's case, they need good players on the West Coast, and they got to be able to keep them. And keeping them, if those players see better facilities and they see, you know, more razzle-dazzle in some of the Big Ten and SEC programs, it's going to be awfully attractive. I mean, I think a few Pac-12 schools will be able to keep up, right? I mean, Washington and Oregon have the resources to probably be competitive. SC does. Stanford does if they want to. They got more money than God. It's just a matter of whether they want to devote it. But for the vast majority of the conference, that disparity is going to be a big, big deal. I mean, Rob Mullen said it best on your show, was it last spring, I think, where he talked about, you know, the conference didn't have to have this dollar for dollar the same resources as the SEC or Big Ten, but they had to be in a range, and that they were the Pac-12 was drifting out of range.
I have that cut. Let me play that cut because I want to talk about it. Here's Mullins.
Well, you have to flashback. So, yes, it's not what we want. That's for sure. But we did make great progress in this deal. Before, in the old Pac-12 TV deals, we were basically on regional TV, and our resources were way behind. When this new deal was done, it closed the gap both in visibility and in resources. But the gap has widened again. And so now we've got to figure out, you know, how do we close that gap? Because, again, resources do matter. And, you know, we don't have to have everything that everybody else has, but we've got to be in a range that allows us to remain competitive. And, you know, right now we're drifting out of that range.
We're drifting out of that range. It's got a scare. Like Oregon, they can, the perception is they could call Phil Knight, but it's not like you can call him every year and say, hey, we need another $22 million to stay with the Big Ten.
And that's Oregon. And think about how it's impacting Oregon State, Washington State, the Arizona schools. I mean, Cal and UCLA are both having major budget issues. You know, Colorado and Utah. I mean, most of the conference is going to have a hard, hard time staying in range and competing. I mean, Mullins, that was the best synopsis of the situation, you know, I could imagine. And he's right that they did close the gap, but it is widened, and it's going to get. But you know, by the end of the current contract in 2024, the difference is going to be very close to what it was when this whole thing started in 2012.
The fact that the conference takes a share has always bothered me, Wilner, because expenses for the conference are factored into before they make the distribution, and then the conference getting 1/13. Is that accurate that they take a full share?
You know, I don't know exactly how that works. And I do know that, you know, every conference office does take a portion of the revenue in order to fund operations on an annual basis. But I don't know if it is a straight 1/3 for the Pac-12, a 1/13 for the Pac-12 or not. And that's probably something that that I should be asking.
John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News, Bay Area News Group. All right, bottom line. One of the ways that the conference could get out of this may sound crazy, is by expanding. Is it possible that they'll look at adding, say, a Boise State or San Diego State and then going, hey, we've got a larger television footprint, let's go out and renegotiate the deal? Or are they left just looking for private equity, or what are the outs?
Well, the outs are basically to go to groveling to ESPN or Fox and say, let's redo the deal, let's lock in long term, give us some more money, help us with the Pac-12 networks. They could wait for an Apple TV or for Amazon, but you know the problem with those partnering with a big tech firm is the exposure, right? I mean, you want to be on the networks that everybody's watching coast to coast and that have the greatest reach, right? It's like the NFL; they're on broadcast TV for a reason. If the Pac-12 is on behind the Amazon Prime paywall, you know, how many people are going to watch that stuff? So I think they need ESPN or Fox, frankly. And I don't think expanding is the answer because, you know, San Diego State, Boise State, they're not going to add enough TV homes to increase the size of the pie so that everybody's slice is bigger, right? I mean, it's not just a matter of adding those two and keeping the pie the same size but splitting it 14 ways instead of 12, you got to make it big enough so that the current size of the 12 slices is bigger when they're 14. And Boise doesn't have enough TV homes, and they don't have a big enough brand. And San Diego State isn't going to add enough TV homes because they're already in the DMA for the Pac-12. They don't have any options to expand in the western third of the country and add value for media rights.
What if we expanded BYU in Texas? Would that move the needle, or is it problematic?
BYU won't move the needle enough because they've already got Salt Lake City as part of their deal with Comcast. Texas and Oklahoma are the only answers in terms of expanding and adding schools that are going to increase the size of the pie for everybody, for all the current members. And I don't see any, at this point, there's no reason to think Texas and Oklahoma would want to come out to the Pac-12. I mean, the Big 12 is more stable and doing better financially than the Pac-12 is.
Have they seen the headquarters, though? I mean, it's mahogany and frosted glass, and it's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. There's no doubt about that. But I mean, you know, they're doing just fine with 10 members. You know, they're each getting bigger shares from their conference office than the Pac-12 schools are. And they just doubled down with ESPN, right? Because now they've got a deal to put Big 12 events on ESPN Plus. They have tightened their relationship with ESPN. The ACC has tightened their relationship with ESPN. So when push comes to shove in a few years, and ESPN's running out of resources, and they're running out of broadcast windows, are they going to give it all to the Pac-12, or are they going to go with the conferences that they have tighter relationships with?
John Wilner, Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News, at Wilner Hotline on Twitter. Before I cut you loose, I've been frustrated with Larry Scott. I think the public is frustrated with him. I'm also frustrated with the CEO group, the chancellors and the presidents of the universities who ultimately are his bosses. Where do you, when you look at sort of, all right, let's divide up our level of frustration, how much of it is on the CEO group? How much of it should be on leadership and Larry Scott?
I think it should be both places. I mean, the CEOs can't be expected to oversee every move the conference makes, right? I mean, they can't be expected to know that the arrangement for football officiating replay reviews was just a disaster waiting to happen, right? And it happened. They should be held accountable, though, for the broader media strategy. They signed off on Larry Scott starting the Pac-12 networks, you know, as a conference-owned entity. And, you know, that's has been a move that has undercut the conference's revenue and its exposure for 12 years. And that's, you know, they've got to be held responsible for that, too. So I think it's both. The answer is both. But the problem is that they've got all these other problems. Everybody's got a problem on their campus, right? Whether it's money or some dean who's doing stuff he's not supposed to be doing. And for them to focus on Pac-12 athletics, it's tough. They've done a much better job the last 2 or 3 years. And I think they're more engaged than they've ever been. And there's more oversight of Larry Scott than there's ever been. But at the same time, they can't be expected to kind of monitor every little thing. And there have been some mistakes that have been made from the conference officers, no doubt.
A few marches ago, Larry Scott, doesn't seem that long ago, Larry Scott went on this video rant where he released a video announcing his extension, and it went over like a lead balloon. I've played it for my audience, and they just slapped their foreheads. And it's interesting to me that March is sort of this marker point. Do you think that the Pac-12 CEO group ends up, do they extend him at this point, or do we in March have silence coming from the group, meaning that, you know, Larry's not getting his extension? I'm going to play just a cut from this. Larry making his announcement.
I have some exciting news I want to share with you personally. Ordinarily, I'd prefer to share it with you when we're all together at a staff meeting in the arena. But right now, many are scattered throughout the conference with Pac-12 championship season and Las Vegas upon us. And I wanted to make sure you heard from me first. I'm thrilled to tell you that our Pac-12 CEO group and I have agreed to extend my term as commissioner through June 2022. I'm honored that our presidents and chancellors have expressed this confidence in my leadership and our...
All right. Are we going to get another one of those this March, or has it become a lame duck?
No, I think I just think it's probably a little bit too early still. You know, they're trying to decide what they want to do about media strategy. The CEOs, as far as I know, the CEOs are they meet in May and they meet in November every year. And that's part of the bylaws. My suspicion is that by November we'll have an answer on his contract, right? Because it goes through the spring of 2022. The next media right negotiations will start in the late fall or early of 2022 or early winter of 2023. And changing out executives takes time because you gotta give the outgoing exec a soft landing, and you gotta give yourself time to hire somebody new. So I would suspect that by November this year, we will have an answer one way or the other on an extension for Scott beyond 2022.
John Wilner, you're the best, man. I appreciate you giving us your time.
My pleasure. Anytime, my friend.
All right. There he is. Read his stuff. I tweeted out a link to his latest piece today. It's fascinating stuff. Top of the hour, Kelly Graves, Oregon women's basketball coach, will be with us. Tomorrow's show, National Signing Day. Jonathan Smith on the show, Mario Cristobal on the show, and I'm efforting Oregon State Athletic Director Scott Barnes. Are they going to finish Research Stadium or not? I want him on tomorrow's show. We'll do our big splash in this segment. We'll take a phone call from David, who's been holding. David in Astoria, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. I got a quick question about officiating. Do they watch film? Coaches watch film. Players watch film. Everybody's trying to improve their game. Do the officials? If not, why the heck not?
Yeah, they do. They do watch film. They go over sort of officiating changes, mistakes, how they're going to call plays. I'm told they do. I can't vouch for every official. And I'm sure some of the better ones probably watch more film than others. But I know that the officials get film from the conferences. And I know that they make some of that film available to media on occasion. I was in the Pac-12 headquarters, not this last season, but the one before it, on a Saturday. The video equipment that the Pac-12 conference has available to it is second to none. The problem I saw in the Pac-12 was they don't have football people working there. The conference commissioner is a Harvard-educated tennis player. The guy that was in charge of football, the administrator, was another attorney who was Harvard-educated, Woody Dixon. David Coleman, the head of officials, was in there, but I didn't get the impression that he cast a confident leadership presence, if I could spit that out. I just felt like it was a little rinky-dinky. The equipment was phenomenal. The technology was great. Conference just needs a leader, and it needs a football person involved somewhere high up.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
Must be. The Big Splash! Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Well, the bottom line is the University of Oregon women's basketball team went to Connecticut, where UConn hadn't lost like that in 7 years. They hadn't lost like that in 15. Oregon pasted UConn last night in women's college basketball. I think sending a statement to America that this team is capable of winning a national championship, not just making a Final Four. It's capable of beating, dare I say, embarrassing a Gino Auriemma coach team. I don't mean that they showed him up. I just mean...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.